broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right. Happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Sam Bushman and Kurt Crosby live on your radio. Hard-hitting news the networks refuse to use, no doubt, continues now. This is indeed the broadcast for November the 28th in the year of our Lord, 2018. This is hour two of two, and our goal always to protect life, liberty, and property, and to promote God, family, and country on your radio and the traditions of our founding fathers. We reject revolution, stand for restoration of the greatest country on the face of the earth. Welcome to Liberty Roundtable Live. Our guest, Jim Clymer, ConstitutionParty.com, well-known constitutional attorney. Welcome back to Liberty Roundtable Live, sir.
Hey, thank you for having me on again.
All right, Donald and Rand Paul and Mike Lee and many people talking prison reform, and good for them for doing it. I don't know that it's a great bill, but it's a start. And I know we need to really work on releasing prisoners, especially the political prisoners that are getting absolutely railroaded by the system. Steve Stockman is one of them, as you well know, Jim. Bottom line is it took four different grand juries to barbecue him. We'll talk about that in a minute. It took saying that he can't have his witnesses testify to his character. I could testify to Steve Stockman's character. I've had money transactions behind the scenes with him, so I happen to know, but I never got even a chance to tell my tale in court to defend Steve at all. It was a railroad from the beginning. He had literally attacked Lois Lerner and said she should be arrested. He literally stood against the Operation Fast and Furious fiasco that took place that nobody was accountable for. Lois runs around free. Steve Stockman in prison gets 10 years, ladies and gentlemen. We've been talking a lot about that. But you know what? Today it's Steve. Tomorrow it's Sam and Jim. And so we had a former prosecutor speak out. And Sidney Powell is on a radio program. And she speaks out. Sidney Powell is a former prosecutor. Listen to this quick soundbite, and then I want to see if you believe this is true or what you think about this, Jim. Here it is.
The hour, just the way you like, is fresh and independent. Our conversation with Sidney Powell continues. We were just talking about her book now being released in paperback. Sidney, we're also going to feature and link it on our website at BillMartinezLive.com, Licensed to Lie. Sidney, what is it that you want the readers ultimately to take away from your book, bottom line?
I want them to know that if the government wants to put you in prison, you will go to prison. Mm-hmm. It doesn't matter whether you're innocent or not. They will make up crimes against you. They will indict you. They will search your house. They're willing to make up evidence. They're willing to put pressure on witnesses to say whatever they want them to say. Anything. They will do anything to get you put into prison. We live in far more of a police state than anybody ever wants to think we did. Well, look at what's happened to Congressman Steve Stockman. I've got his defense fund linked at creepsonamission.com. Mm-hmm. The same thing has happened to Paul Manafort, to a friend of mine here in Dallas, to lots of other people around the country, and it's happening more and more and more. We have got to get an attorney general who understands the need for criminal justice reform. I hope people will encourage their congressman to pass the First Step Act. It is not going to let a lot of criminals loose on the street who don't need to be there. We have been far too harsh in our punishment. And like I said, there are a lot of people that have been sent to prison as a result of wrongful convictions that don't even need to be there.
All right. So that's the bottom line. She's saying that, look, if the government wants to put you in jail, they will. They'll witness tamper. They'll lie. They'll cheat. Now, that has been made factual, not just a statement by a former prosecutor, but factual by the Ammon Bundy case, Jim Clymer. They literally, the judge just simply dismissed the case and said, wait a minute, the government's lied. They've literally perjured themselves on the stand. They lied about Ammon Bundy. They said he was a flight risk when they knew full well in their internal investigation that he was not. They literally lied on the stand about who had guns where, when, etc. A whistleblower caught them. They basically perjured themselves to the point where the judge just went, we can't even go forward with this. It's so criminal on the part of the government. So what do you say about this, Jim?
Well, I think she's exactly right, and you're exactly correct. The Bundy case is a good example. Thankfully, you know, there's a judge, as you know, who was not at all favorable toward the defendants, toward Bundy, but at least had enough integrity that she realized it had to be thrown out when it was revealed to her what the government had done. And so that's one time it got foiled. But, of course, in the case of Steve Stockman, it did not. And Manafort, I mean, all these cases that what she mentioned, it is true. I remember going back quite a number of years. It's getting worse. Let me say, first of all, it's getting much worse now than it was before. But if you go back a number of years, you probably remember George Hanson, who was a congressman from...
I used to interview George Hanson 25 years ago all the time, and at the end of the day, they ruined his life, they ruined his health, they destroyed his character, they destroyed his career. But at the end of the day, the government had to pay out because he won. It was just too late and a dollar short, huh?
Yeah, well, that's right. But, you know, there was some... Who was it? Secretary of Labor, was it Donahue or... from back during the Reagan years, where he said, even though he was vindicated in the end, he said, you know, who's going to give my reputation back? Because, you know, they destroy a person, and even if they win ultimately, even if they have the resources, and so many of these, they don't have the resources. It's just when you're going up against the federal government, unless you're an extremely wealthy person, you don't have the resources to continue the fight. And a lot of people, of course, faced with spending a lot of time in jail, will plead to something. I just read this morning about Jerry Corsi saying that you know, they can send me to prison for life, but I'm not going to plead to admitting something, saying I did something which I did not do.
Yeah, Jerome Corsi, a good friend of ours, and he has another statement just out, Kurt.
Well, that's right. You know, our buddy Jerome, he's in a kind of tough situation, I think.
And our buddy Steve. And the question will be, how long will it be till it's Sam, Kurt, and Jim? But go ahead, sir.
Yeah, that's right. I guess he was with Tucker Carlson lately, but he basically, on there, he says, I've had no contact with Assange. I guess the special counsel, Robert Mueller's investigation into this whole thing is looking for collusion, but the author, Jerome Corsi, is now rejecting this plea deal. He says he was offered to him by Mueller because it would force him to lie about his alleged inside information pertaining to WikiLeaks and his relationship with founder Julian Assange. He said, quote, I never met Julian Assange. I never spoke with him. I've never emailed him. I've had no contact with Julian Assange whatsoever. That's what he said on Tucker Carlson Tonight, Fox News, just last night. Corsi told a story of fully cooperating with the Mueller probe, handing over his computers, providing access to his emails, even turning over his Twitter access, as well as a time machine that recorded when documents were created on his computer. I gave them I gave them everything voluntarily, he said. But what Corsi did not have, he said, was a pipeline to Assange. So it's really,
and he doesn't
think,
have a pipeline to the Donald,
fraudulent.
It doesn't look like either.
Well, let's see, where was that? There's part in here where it says that the president has said he would, I'll have to look that up.
All right, find that. In the meantime, though, Jim, look, Jerome Corsi's in trouble now. Just so you know, prosecutors inadvertently leaked. They've got an indictment against Julian Assange coming up per the Trump administration. Donald was asked about it. He says he knows nothing about it. But he praised WikiLeaks over 140 times on the campaign trail, said he loved them.
Well, I think WikiLeaks is providing a good service.
I agree, but now he's basically turning his back. And what are we going to do about this, sir? How long will it be till it's Sam?
Yeah, or Jim, or any of us. That's right. I think it's a very real threat, and it's as the author said. You know, if they determine they're going to get you, they're going to get you.
Hey, now Jim, you just wait till my wife takes the helm in 2020. It's going to be phenomenal. I'm going to set up the Christmas lights, me and a few of my girl helpers. And then, you know, Hillary can go ahead and make sure that you guys get off the streets. What do you think of that, Jim?
Hey, I think you're pretty good.
I'm just saying, I mean, look, that's what we might be facing, though. Look, it's going to be Hillary's going to be pitched as the conservative one. This Ocasio-Cortez and some of these other whacked out people, you know, Barney Frank to Bernie Sanders. To, I mean, Hillary's like the conservative one of the group, right?
It's hard to imagine, isn't it? That's the way things are going. That's the way it's ending up. That's right.
Well, I don't know what can we do to move the needle to bring this to the President Trump's attention. We've been trying to work with our organization, the Freedom Coalition, to try to sit down with President Trump and create a presidential commission, a team of law enforcement personnel and investigators and other people that could literally dig into these cases, find out the truth, find out when they're politically motivated or manipulated, and truly get to the bottom of it and make recommendations to the president. How do we move the needle and get an audience with President Trump or somebody on his staff to really push this narrative? Because I'm telling you, it could be you and me tomorrow. And what, I mean, when I go to prison, no one's going to even think about me.
I wish I knew the way. I wish I knew how to do that. I'd certainly be happy to tell you. But, I mean, apparently he's got some people in his administration who are still advising him against that type of thing. I think his instincts are correct, and I think that he would do it if he could. But they're telling him that he's facing impeachment if he does something like that.
I'm telling you right now, we got to stand up and do something, though. We cannot leave Steve Stockman there. Lois Lerner's free and Steve's in prison. Julian Assange is going to basically have a secret indictment and Hillary runs around. I mean, this is insanity. Jim Clymer with us. ConstitutionParty.com. Just a second, folks.
I'd advise Mr. Trump to stop whining and go try to make his case to get votes.
The press has created a rigged system. They even want to try and rig the election.
Well, I tell you what, it helps in Ohio that we got Democrats in charge of the machines.
And poisoned the mind of so many of our voters.
At the polling booths, where so many cities are corrupt and voter fraud is all too common. And then they say, oh, there's no voter fraud in our country.
I come from Chicago. So I want to be honest. It's not as if it's just Republicans who have monkeyed around with elections in the past. Sometimes Democrats have too. You know, whenever people are in power, they're, you know, they have this tendency to try to, you know, tilt things in their direction.
There's no voter fraud.
You start whining before the game's even over. Whenever things are going badly for you and you lose, you start blaming somebody else, and you don't have what it takes to be in this job.
Hi, I'm Patty, wife of former Congressman Steve Stockman. In Congress, Steve sought impeachment of Eric Holder for his corruption of the Justice Department and his fast and furious gun running that caused Border Agent Brian Talley's death. Steve called for arrest of Lois Lerner for her contempt of Congress as it investigated her targeting of conservative nonprofit groups. After 4 years, four grand juries, and millions of tax dollars, Steve Stockman is in prison. His case involved four checks to nonprofits. DOJ has one standard for Hillary Clinton, but another for folks like President Trump and my husband. We've spent all our savings, all Steve's retirement, and much of mine. Steve Stockman has fought for you and America. Won't you join me now to fight for Steve? To help, text FIGHT to 444-999. Text FIGHT to 444-999 or go to defendapatriot.com. DefendAPatriot.com.
All right. Jim Clymer riding shotgun on the show today, ladies and gentlemen. Sam and Kurt on your radio. So I'm just saying, what on earth do we do about this? And Jim's saying, I wish I knew. And if we can't get President Trump to do something about it, look, the radicals are taking over in the House in 2019. And I'm telling you right now, 2020 is coming up quick. The Donald might get, he barely beat Hillary. He lost the popular vote due to vote fraud and illegal voting and such like that. Of course, the vote fraud commission got shut down, so we can never prove that. They'll just deny it and say it wasn't true, and you guys are conspiracy whacked out nuts, and you belong in prison next. I mean, you after all, you oppose climate change, for crying out loud. You got to go to jail. These people are literally doubling down like that. They're also trying to put a climate change bill in the House coming up soon that would literally say if you have more than two kids, you're a menace to society and you're a problem, and they ought to throw you in jail. They ought to create tax credits for you, or I'm sorry, tax expenses for you because of your abuse of the system and your overuse of CO2. And I mean, this is just insanity stuff. Christians are going to jail for being Christian, right? We've got this guy who I'm going to interview here pretty soon. His name is Philip Zogbiates. I don't know if you know much about him, Jim Clymer, but this guy basically literally drove a lady who converted from a lesbian to a Christian from place A to place B. Now they say he's an accomplice to international kidnapping, and they're ready to toss him in the clink coming up. But I mean, it doesn't end.
I know Philip Zogbiates. He's a friend of mine.
Zogbiates is how you say it. Okay.
Yeah, and I'm grieved by all that. It's
but all he did was drive somebody from one location to another, just a Christian act of charity.
Exactly.
He didn't break any laws at all. They say it's kind of guilt by association or an accomplice to the crime, kind of a manipulation, right?
Well, that's right. I mean, this is another example of somebody who runs afoul of the agenda of the left. And in this case, of course, it was the LGBTQ, whatever the letters you want to throw at it, but... and of course, this arose out of a case in Vermont where two lesbians were living together, and they, I guess they were married. I'm not sure.
They had a civil union, and then the civil union dissolved, and then one just doubled down on her hardcore lesbianism, and one basically came out and converted to become a Christian and tried to defend her daughter, Isabella. And so over this daughter was the big battle. And bottom line is Philip had the audacity to drive her from location A to B. She left the country to defend her daughter. And now it's a big, massive international fiasco. And Philip, the guy that just simply took somebody from A to B, is right at the heart of it. They're going to give him 3+ years.
Exactly. No, that's right. But like I said, it's because of the type of thing that he was involved with, or the type of the issue that was involved there, and in order to promote their homosexual agenda.
Now, I don't know how to get the President Trump on this, but it turns out this guy was a massive, I don't know what you call it, mail house. He would send out mail for Christian causes and for constitutional causes. And this is political payback, really, to get at him for his business. I just think it's a sideways way to get him. Same thing with Steve Stockman. You attack Lois Lerner, you go to jail, she runs around free. You go ahead and use this mail system to tell the truth and stand for Christian causes, and hey, we're going to backdoor get you too. That's what this is about.
Indeed it is. That's exactly what it's about. And like I said, I grieve for Philip. He's a great guy. He's a great constitutionalist. He's a great Christian, and for him to be treated this way in this country, it's appalling.
Now, how do you say his last name again? I can never get this right.
Zogbiates.
Zogbiates. All right, Philip Zogbiates. I'm telling you, people don't even know how to handle these cases. They're so convoluted and complicated. And I mean, I've asked all kinds of people to help me with this, and nobody will do anything, Jim. Nobody.
Well, they're having a meeting on December the 1st down in Virginia in a church there, because he's supposed to report, I think, December 5th or something like that.
Yes, the 5th. That's correct.
And they're holding a meeting, and, of course, they're left with over $300,000 in debt and fighting this thing as well.
Now this guy really would double down in defense and of support of Trump. I mean, in a huge way too. Same with Steve Stockman. He's been a big friend of Donald Trump too. When are we going to be able to get Donald Trump to pay attention to this?
Well, I know that efforts are being made both on his behalf and on behalf of Steve Stockman to try to get Trump to get involved. I don't know. I mean, I don't have the direct line to...
I literally called Joe Arpaio to help, and he just says he's too busy. You know, he doesn't have time to help. And I'm just thinking, you got your own pardon, buddy. What about the rest of us? Come on now.
Yeah, right.
But Joe's too busy.
Well, somebody's got to get to him. I mean, it's just... this is, you know, his patriots at arms are...
All right. So do you think Julian Assange is going to go to jail? Do you think that they're going to kick him out of the embassy there in whatever, UK? And I mean, what's going to happen there? Is he going to come back to America and get tossed in the clink too?
Well,
He's not even a citizen, for crying out loud.
No, he's not a citizen. He's survived there this long. I would be surprised if they would kick him out. But who knows what might happen? International pressure. But I would hope that Trump would come to his defense too. Remember,
I think Donald Trump could get on the stage with Julian Assange, with Jerome Corsi, with Steve Stockman, and how do you say it, Zodiati?
Zodiati, yeah.
Zodiati, and they could basically all stand there, and he could say, listen, we're not going to tolerate this political prosecution anymore. We're going after Lois Lerner. We're going after Hillary. These people have been pardoned. We're going to basically get to the bottom of these things. We're going to put together a presidential commission to really analyze what's going on, because we see these patterns. They say they're all flight risks. They don't let their witnesses testify. They give manipulated instructions to the juries, to where the juries convict, but they don't even know what they're doing. They don't even have a handle on the case. They just go, oh, the judge said we got A or B, and I guess which do you want, A or B? Let's go home. And they don't even really understand what's happening here. It's politically motivated to the umpth degree. The Ammon Bundy case is positive case proof of this, sir. And the only people that got in any trouble are the people that copped the plea deal. Never do it. But the bottom line is, we've got to bring this to the light of the people, and we've got to do something now, or I'm telling you, they're just going to start going after Christians left and right. This is about eventually attacking Christianity.
Well, it is, and you would think that Trump would realize this because of the way they're going after him for political reasons.
Well, Trump doesn't act quick, they're going to get him, too.
That's right. He's going to be facing himself. So he really needs to come to the table on this and defend those who are being politically prosecuted.
All right, amen. I know you got to fly at the 30 break. Anything you want to focus on today? What else do you want the people to know? I really think we need to double down on this prison reform discussion and take it really seriously, because there's political prisoners literally everywhere. I mean, I know so many people that have either been in prison, gone to prison, going to prison, going to go to prison, whatever, that it's just shocking. And I just fear, I mean, I might have to just turn off this program and run for the hills, for crying out loud.
Yeah, well, no, I fully agree with you, and I think prison reform is way overdue. It's a travesty the way the criminal justice system is being used. And, you know, we talked a lot here about political prosecution, political prisoners, but there are a lot of other people out there, too, that who maybe don't qualify as political prisoners, but they become part of an overly aggressive criminal justice system that needs to feel like they're doing something, and for nonviolent crimes, for things that it just should not be happening in a free society, and the way they're being prosecuted, and people are being sent to jail for in a way, it's sort of a natural flow from a government that thinks it's got to regulate every area of our lives, and approaches that of a totalitarian government where everything is controlled, and if somebody steps out of line, you throw them in jail.
Hey, do you think you and I might need to knock on the southern border and see if we can climb over the wall so we might get asylum in Mexico?
Yeah, well, I don't know.
In a way, that's laughable tongue-in-cheek, but I'm kind of serious.
I don't know. I want to go that direction. I may want to go another direction to seek asylum, but, you know.
I'm making that point to joke, but to hammer home a serious point, right?
I understand. You know, Sam, though, I was going to say, I've often used the Internal Revenue Code as a good example. You know, I would bet that virtually, I don't know, 90-95% of Americans who file tax returns could be prosecuted if they decide they want to.
Because it's all under the penalty of perjury.
You have laws that are so complex, and that the Internal Revenue Code is a good example. They're so complex that even the best minds in the field can't agree on how something is to be applied. And so if they wanted to, they could get every one of us on some kind of tax code violation.
Oh, heavens. Pray, ladies and gentlemen, like no other, and live your life to garner the protection of God through obedience to his commandments, would you please? Jim Clymer, thank you so much, sir. We'll have you back soon.
It's a pleasure. Thank you.
There he goes. I'm telling you, Jim Clymer does a phenomenal job. Quick pause on your radio.
Proclaiming liberty across the land. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
We fought. We learned. We struggled. We won. Despite Obama's best efforts, the newspaper of the human resistance survives. We have lived only to face a new nightmare, the war against the machines. Read about our struggle in The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. The Sovereign is a 24-page monthly tabloid newspaper about the war between man and machines. We've tried reason, we've tried legislation. We've tried every peaceful means imaginable, and all it's gotten us is shut out. So now we fight the machines. Order online today at thesovnews.com or find The Sovereign at select newsstands. Remember to read The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. The human resistance's battle against the machines will be everlasting. This is mercy. It was never our destiny to stop the age of Obama. It was merely to survive it. Together. Together.
How many times do I have to tell you? I swear, it just goes in one ear and out the other. Don't you understand English?
Your children are probably too polite to tell you.
Hello, those things on the side of your head aren't turnips.
But they get just as frustrated when you won't listen to them as you do when they won't listen to you.
Do I need to speak slower?
In fact, few things show children how much they're valued and respected more than a parent's willingness to listen.
Tell me what you did at work today.
Studies show when parents listen, children develop better listening skills themselves. They also tend to have more self-confidence and are more likely to avoid alcohol and drugs.
Now sit down here and tell me all about it.
When you really listen, love is what they'll hear.
Thank you for sharing that with me.
From the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. For more tips on strengthening your family, visit family.mormon.org.
Can a nation conceived in liberty carry its head high if it denies protection to the youngest and most vulnerable of its citizens? Can a country founded on God-given rights continue to thrive without understanding that life is a precious gift from our Creator? As a physician, I have looked into the eyes of one-pound babies. I have cradled their small bodies in the palm of one hand. I defy those who are careless, who would disregard life and look at these tiny little miracles and say, we're not going to protect that.
But I believe there will come a time when we are all judged on whether or not we took a stand in defense of all life from the moment of conception until our last natural breath. One thing I promise you, I will always take a stand for life.
I want to dedicate this song to Mr. Rupert Murdoch.
Live and on your radio, I'm telling you right now, the last hour and a half have been so depressing, I got to go to some positive stories or I'm going to melt down, ladies and gentlemen. There is good happening in the world, too, and you got to know about it. Kurt?
Well, that's right, ladies and gentlemen, for The Thanksgiving holiday.
Amen.
Our good buddy Mr. Tim Tebow celebrated with his girlfriend, and you know, they haven't announced any plans to get married or anything yet, but you know, I mean, as far as I can tell, Sam, the media would be on it like a hawk if he had done anything but say hello to her, spend time with her, and you know, anything else, but they're watching him close. The headline reads, Tebow family spends holiday with Miss Universe. Yep, says Tim Tebow invited his girlfriend, 2017 Miss Universe Demi Lee Nell Peters, to spend the Thanksgiving with his family. So could things be getting serious? Yeah, that's what they say. The 31-year-old former NFL player and 23-year-old South African beauty have been dating for a while and definitely kicked things up a notch in their relationship after he brought the model home for the holiday. That's according to TMZ. Several pictures from the gathering have surfaced on both of their social media accounts. In one of the posts, the beauty queen or beauty pageant winner captioned the snap, quote, my first American style Thanksgiving with the sweetest family. Grateful for an incredible year and everyone I got to share it with. Hashtag Thanksgiving. Cool. Anyway, there's a little, you know, less wild and crazy story, but it's still, some would call it wild and crazy, because
what if they got together and had a bunch of children, Kurt? Then they'd be a menace to society, according to the Climate Act bill they're working on right now in Congress.
That's right. And a guy like Tim Tebow that says that, hey, after marriage, then he'll consummate the relationship and not before. And, I mean, you know, a good Christian guy marrying a good lady. I mean, what a cool thing. Anyway, there you go, Sam. Something to drive the liberals crazy.
Huh? All right. Spends holiday with Miss Universe. There you go. All right. Now, this is interesting, Kurt. This is a hard-hitting story that you just got to weigh in on, my friend. They're having a big old debate in the blogosphere. Do you know what the blogosphere is, Kurt?
It's like, where the blogs are.
It's where the blogs are and where the, quote, non-professional media people hang out and stuff like that. They want you to believe.
Okay.
Now, I don't believe that because I think a lot of people in the blogosphere have a better handle on the news than the mainstream press does, big time. But anyway, the blogosphere is kind of the internet, the wild, wild west, where there's no professionalism, where there's no real fact-checking. That's what the liberals and the media want
and
you
none
to
of that. It's not where, I mean, where this real honest media is.
That's
is,
correct.
It's like the New York Times and stuff
right.
like that. You know.
CNN, you know the drill. Okay. Well, anyway, the reason I bring this up is there's a big debate going on.
Yeah.
A real tree, because Christmas is coming up, Kurt, so you got to talk about trees, okay?
Yeah.
A real tree or artificial? And they ask this important, poignant question. As Kurt always says, I want to ask you a simple question. Which one's greener, Kurt? Now, we're not talking about color. We're talking about environmentally greener. Which is greener, Kurt, a real tree or an artificial tree? And they literally have dozens of arguments back and forth about which is right. So what do you say, Kurt? You want to answer this question for everybody?
Not really.
Come on, Kurt.
What do you say about it, Sam, as a blind person, you know?
Well, I don't really know what the color green is, so I don't know about that part.
Well, yeah, but you could be just as right as anybody else.
Well, so, you know, when they talk about
it,
it's just
how you feel about it. You know what I mean?
I think you're right. I think you've hit on a valid point.
You could feel like that one's greener, and then, you know, it's okay, Sam. I mean, it's I mean, you identify as a sighted person today, and you say this one is you know, greener. I mean, it's just how it is in the
sightedly decided male too.
Yeah.
All right, so I want to kind of lay this out though. So the idea is, the green people on the real tree idea say, listen, what happens is we chop down a tree, we plant another one. And when you plant new trees for them to grow, they really balance out the oxygen, carbon dioxide balance quite a bit. They do a great job. They, you know, et cetera. And so, you know, cutting down trees is good. Others say, no, cutting down trees is horrible. Then the others say, well, listen, the plastic ends up all in the landfill. You got to buy those things from China. They get in the big China landfill debate. And then they're like, yeah, but you keep them multiple years. It's better than cutting down a tree every year when a tree takes, you know, a long time to grow, 10 years to grow to maturity and this kind of stuff. And, you know, who wants all the plastics in the landfill? And there's a big debate about which one is actually greener. And it's the same debate, by the way, believe it or not, that people ignore when they talk about electric vehicles versus gas vehicles or coal-powered plants versus nuclear versus wind or solar or whatever. And these same debates happen. So wind doesn't, you know, attack the environment, but to build the plastic and the metal of the windmill, what processes, you know, are required to really get all that done? And is that, you know, and what happens to the turbines when you get rid of, do they go in the landfill? And so there's a big debate about that. Or electricity, you say, well, electricity is a lot cleaner, Sam. You can see it out your tailpipe. Come on, how stupid are you? But then you got to come back and say, well, what does it really take to create the electric batteries and the toxins that the batteries have and the, you know, and really take for the process to build that vehicle. And then you got to debate how far that vehicle could drive on which side's better. The same tree debate, whether it's real tree or fake tree. Well, they don't say that. Real tree or artificial. So you can't call it fake. One's real. One's fake. So anyway, but that same debate is the same debate that really the environmental discussions are all about. And I have a couple of important questions to ask before I answer the question, Kurt. Do real trees and fake trees both come from the earth?
I think they're both earthlings, yeah.
And if they're earthlings, then will they return to the earth after their, quote, usefulness? Or what will happen to him?
There you go, using that logic. You can't use logic when it comes to the environmental debate, Sam.
I'm just asking if, you know, what happens to it. You would say, well, Sam, it takes a lot longer for the plastic tree to biodegrade than the real one. Okay, well, but then you say, Sam, you use that tree a lot longer. You can use it for 10 years before it. And then you say, well, is there anything that could be done to help the plastic one biodegrade better? And, you know, you kind of understand that I'm not so sure that either of them are more green than the other, Kurt. I don't even know what green means. Because is green to save the environment? Well, I mean, if you go all the way green, then if you just kill all the people, there'll be no humanoids to ruin the green. If you fall for the whole lie,
Earth
right?
Would be great. Mm-hmm.
Now, if you say the more humans we have on the Earth, they, I don't know if you know, but in the scriptures they talk about you return to your Mother Earth, Kurt, even as a humanoid. Humanoids that are destroying the planet, they return to Mother Earth. They come from the dust in which they were made, right? Don't both trees do that? Don't all kinds of fossil fuels or coal fuels or gas or electricity, or all these things? I mean, they all do that. The question isn't do they return to the Mother Earth. The question is how do they do so in a timely manner to not, toxicify or whatever you want to toxify our environment and stuff. But they're not even having discussions about that. They just want to have a big old meltdown debate in the blogosphere about which tree you support. Do you have a real tree or a fake one, Kurt?
You know, it would be a combination. What happened was we got a fake one from the, my in-laws, nice green one. And the middle part, Sam, the middle part where you poke in the plastic pieces, we lost that middle part. So then Trevor got piece of wood, and so that would be a green thing, because it's wood, from a tree. He got a piece of wood and he drilled holes into it. So what we've got is a hybrid, we've got both things. I mean, it came, it's wood in the middle and then it's plastic on the outside. So, I don't know how you answer that other than what I just
did. You're just on both sides of the fence there. I get it. You want to promote everything is green. You're all good. And there you go. Now, I'm a little different. I want to go ahead and divide and conquer and just lay it out. You ready?
Mm-hmm.
Who made the fake trees, Kurt? Man, right?
People?
Yeah. Man. Mm-hmm. Who made the real trees, Kurt?
God.
Amen. End of discussion. Next.
But then you could say that the man made tree was made by materials that were made by God. Right?
Yeah. And I'd say so. It's still
that.
Secondarily.
And God
it's second
made
hand.
The man itself. Himself.
So it's really all made by God. Is that your real point? And you're right.
That's.
You can't say that.
I know.
You got to divide man and God somehow, don't you?
Good point.
See what I mean? I mean, otherwise,
eliminate God. From
well,
the
good
picture.
Point. In fact, it was an evolutionary made tree or a man made tree, right?
Yeah.
This whole discussion is ridiculous. But the reason that I bring it up, ladies and gentlemen, is they're literally debating that kind of stuff. I have a real tree, by the way. Always have, always will. But I bring it all up because that whole tree discussion literally typifies the whole environmental discussion.
Yeah.
Hey, man, I think we ought to just get off the radio. Sam and Kurt are going to quit. We're going to be replaced by, we'll tell you in seconds. This is Sam and Kurt in Seconds on Liberty Roundtable Live. We're not really going off the air. It's a joke. You'll see why. Hang tight.
As a parent, is receiving a faith-based, character-focused education for your children difficult to find? Do you believe that godly principles should be a central component in your child's education? Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center, where heritage and responsibility instill character. For over 40 years, American Heritage School has been educating both hearts and minds, bringing out academic excellence. This is the school where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental, where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. With American Heritage School's Advanced Distance Education Program, distance is no longer an issue. With an accredited LDS-oriented curriculum from kindergarten through 12th grade, your children can attend from anywhere in the world. American Heritage School will prepare your child for more than a job. It will prepare them for life. To learn more, visit American-Heritage.org. That's American-Heritage.org.
Liberty is not free. Its costs are innumerable. Without monetary funding, the valiant efforts of freedom-loving Americans become diminished or outright defeated. We present a solution, the Give Me Liberty Fund. The plan is quite simple. Invite individual Americans to contribute less than a dollar a day. These monetary funds are used to promote liberty-minded media, organizations, events, candidates, movements, and speakers. In the spirit of transparency, all expenditures are published. Patriotic business owners provide discounted products and services to Give Me Liberty Fund members. Our greatest strength is in numbers. Go to GiveMeLibertyFund.com and become part of the solution today. GiveMeLibertyFund.com. Participate in the peaceful restoration of the greatest and freest country in the world.
All right, that's cool sound of music, ain't it, ladies and gentlemen? All right, Liberty Roundtable Live. We're probably going to have to bow out of radio. Let me tell you a quick story, then turn it over to Kurt for the reality check. You know, when I was in radio years ago, a buddy of ours used to fund us and say, hey, you guys do a great job. And he put money into our efforts by the thousands, and we were so grateful. It actually helped us get our start and grow, and we're eternally grateful for that. But one day he came to us and he said, man, I'm not going to fund you guys anymore. We're like, why? He said, because Glenn Beck has just got this thing taken care of, man. Glenn is rocking. He doesn't need any of my money. He makes a lot of money, and he's telling the tale of liberty, and he's just going to fix the country. And so don't worry about it. Just step aside, man. 912, here. Glenn's on it. Now I don't hear Glenn promoting prison reform. Glenn had the same experience as I did just years after my experience that, hey, you talk about God too much. They kick you out of there, buddy. So Glenn acknowledges that finally, but he's still not coming to the table. We've offered to sit down with Glenn Beck and work together to promote liberty, but somehow Glenn's just, you know, kind of like the Pimpernel, too hard to find. Nevertheless, I guess now some other folks can replace us too, Kurt, and fix the country, huh?
Yes, the Bill and Hillary Show, Sam, the headline reads, Power Couple Kick Off 13-City Paid Speaking Tour in Canada, where bank executive lobbed questions at them in half-empty arena as they accused Trump of being part of a Saudi cover-up. Bill and Hillary are beginning a paid speaking tour. By the way, their first evening with the Clintons. I mean, just think, Sam, of the great kind of Christmas gift idea that would be. I mean, get some tickets for that and hand them out. I mean, anyway, I guess they were interviewed by Canadian politician and diplomat Frank McKenna. He's the deputy chair of the TD Bank Group. Never heard of it, but I'm sure they contributed mightily. Bill Clinton said the U.S. had compromised its moral leadership. I mean, coming from Bill Clinton, he knows a lot about morality. Hillary Clinton had a short coughing spell about an hour into the talk. Yeah, she's coughing on those lies. Live Nation bills this as a one-of-a-kind conversation. And boy, they got to be right about that. I mean, imagine having a liar in chief, you know, instead of the president in chief, and then his, second liar in command altogether. The tour began on a day with major developments, they say, in Russia. Probe on the heels of auto plant closings in the U.S. and Canada. There were empty seats both in the upper level seats and on the ground floor where the tickets were a little pricier. By the way, you could get a ticket for $6.55 in the final minutes before the event. I bet you can get them for cheaper now. Hillary says, we have a president and those closest to him who have their own personal commercial interests in Saudi Arabia. I mean, like Hillary never had her own personal.
Now, let me stop you there, too. And here's what's fascinating. Donald will take that beating with this allegation. And, you know, I don't know if it's true or not. I'm just telling you that they can lob this allegation. Who was in charge of the country when 9/11 happened, Kurt? Was it George?
I think that was George Bush.
All right. So George Bush, and then who was after that? Barack? And who was before that? Hillary and Bill?
That's the way
and,
I remember.
You know, what about this Saudi Arabia? Hasn't the relationship with Saudi Arabia been the same, whether it's Bill and Bush and Good Donald point. And Barack and all yeah. the... I mean, it seems like we've had the same literal policies the whole time. How does that work, Kurt?
Oh, Sam, don't go pointing that out. I mean, that's logic, and you got to not throw logic and Hillary together. I mean, it's just not where they work, you know?
Well, they're probably friends. They're probably just hanging out.
Good point. Good point. Yeah.
Okay, but, you know, so Donald says lock her up.
Yep.
Then Bill and Hillary say, hey, you're part of a Saudi Arabia cover-up. It rhymes. Lock her up. Well, you're part of a Saudi Arabia cover-up. And now it's just reality TV, and no one's going to get locked up except for the good guys. Steve Stockman, Jerome Corsi. You know, all I'm telling you is pretty soon Sam and Kurt. I think we ought to just close down the radio buddies. Show and let Bill and Hill save the country. And, I mean, after all, we might go to prison if we keep it up, Kurt.
You know, I know there's been some pretty good folks that have gone to prison. And now I'm not saying I'd like to be there, but, you know, I know Jesus kind of had a little run-in with the law, and I could list off a number of others. So, you know, as far as I know, the Founding Fathers kind of had some tough times with the authorities, if you will. So I recommend we just do the best we can, even under the circumstances, if you will.
And although I don't want to go to prison, I will have to say that, you know what, folks, keep this in mind. If I just decide to bow out and not take on these issues, I might save my own skin. But what about my sons and daughters?
What about your grandchildren?
And what about their sons and daughters? And what about the next generations of patriots that want to be and remain and live free? Right?
And what about when you have to stand before the...
mighty or almighty? Yeah, before the bar of God. I agree. And so I guess what I'm going to have to do is I'm going to have to just stand for liberty, keep the commandments of God, do my best to keep the laws of my country, pick my battles wisely and carefully, and pray to God for guidance and revelation in doing so, and just double down in defense of God, family, and country, and protection of life, liberty, and property, and let the chips fall where they may. What do you think of that idea, Kurt?
Good point.
Is that a conspiracy theory?
That sounds good to me.
All right, I was just wondering. Anyway, now the next story here. Did you have something real quick, Kurt, you were going to say before this?
Well, I found that Corsi thing about where he says that he has an agreement with the president to basically do, let's see, what are his words here? I was just going to try to find the exact
I read that. It was just so muddled, I didn't even know what it meant, you know.
Well, here's what he said. Says he has a defense agreement with Trump, and he received limited immunity from Mueller.
And I don't know what limited immunity means. I thought immunity was,
I don't know
was,
either, but you know. At least he's saying he has a joint defense agreement with President Trump. So I don't know what that exactly means. But,
well, and I hope it means that he'll get pardoned yesterday and we can move on.
Yeah.
Okay, because what I'm convinced of is, look, Donald talks big, but when push comes to shove, I'm not sure he's delivering.
Yeah.
Okay, I mean, Bill and Hillary are literally saying, hey, we're going to impeach you, Donald, and you're tied into Saudi Arabia cover-ups. And if Donald waits too long, it's kind of like how the discussion about the Jews were in World War II. Well, they're not coming for me, thank heavens.
Yeah.
Pretty soon when they came for me, there was no one to help me because, you know.
That's exactly
right. I pray that doesn't happen to the Donald.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Anyway, a defeated rep is in the news, Kurt. This is
well,
an interesting
this is
story. And again, how the
before,
Democrats and the Republicans seem to play. The Republicans just plan to lose, and the Democrats go for broke, right?
Well, yeah. And in this case, this is a California story. Basically, the guy's name is David Baladayo, I guess. It must be Spanish. I'm not sure if it's Spanish or English, whatever. But the bottom line is this guy, he won on election day, this California Republican in District 21. But they've been counting since then now, so it's like 3 weeks later or whatever. And now it looks like the Democrat has won, Sam. So, you know, there you go. I mean, it's just like either a guest we had on or somebody just told us that, hey, what was the plan if you're a Democrat? You... you count the votes over and over, or until you get till you win, right? I mean, you just got to keep counting, right? That's the way you do it, and that's what it looks like they did there in California. One more
there you go.
Of those deals, yeah.
It's crazy. Yeah. Hey, Kurt, you got to hide when you pray? I know I'm supposed to pray in my closet and such like that. I support that, right?
Well, you know, it seems like that would be a good place to pray. But, you know, in this case, the headline from the WorldNet Daily Voice, curtain lifted on students ordered to hide while praying. Down there in Texas, they got a school district, the Honey Grove School District. The principal was ticked off because a bunch of students were praying in the cafeteria. So the principal, this guy's name is Lee Frost. It kind of frosts me, but anyway, he says, y'all don't do that again. That's what he told students after they met during a lunch period, sat at an empty table, and quietly prayed together. So the guys at the First Liberty Institute went to bat for him, and Keisha Russell there, she's the associate counsel, she said, we're grateful to Honey Grove School District officials for acting swiftly to ensure that students can freely exercise their right to pray, and they don't have to hide behind a cafeteria curtain, move to an empty gym, or go outside like they, the principal told him he wanted them to do. So anyway, that's
but Kurt,
good news out of Texas.
It's good news, but you do got to hide.
Good point.
Because how do you know that you won't just be up on charges? How do you know you won't just get tossed in the clink?
Yeah, good point.
And if you believe this former prosecutor, and if you believe the constitutional attorney, Jim Clymer, they both agree that, hey, if they want to throw you in jail, they just will. They don't even care about the law or the rules or anything else.
Mm-hmm. Good point. But it sure is nice to see a, quote, win, end quote, you know.
Yes, I agree. We got to do all we can, and we got to be grateful for every win we get. There's no doubt about that.
Yeah.
I just, I've been so disenchanted with this idea that, you know what? You've literally got former prosecutors and constitutional, well-known, very good attorneys literally saying, hey, if they want to toss you in the clink, there's no law that matters. There's nothing that can save you. No one knows what to do about it. Nobody can. This is the land of the free. And when I hear that kind of stuff, I just go, what have we come to? The only way we can gain protection is if we turn to God. He's the only one that can save us now. Kurt, the only one. All right. Anyway, now, Kurt, you sent me a story on tithing. You want to end on tithing? I don't know what you're talking about.
No, I was just telling you, a simple reason for, you know, folks to observe that commandment. In the scripture, it says that if you do that, God will, what does it say, rebuke the devourer. You know, and I can't think of anything more devouring than a wicked government.
I hear that, and it says that if you don't pay your tithing, then you've robbed God, right? I mean, isn't that in
Hebrew? Which is be bad as well. I mean, those are both, you know.
Well, I don't want to be the one guilty of robbing God. I can tell you that right now.
No, yeah, I just wanted,
you know, it's kind of like fire insurance. You won't burn it the last day. Doesn't it say something like that, or am I just confused?
That's a good
point. I'm often confused, but you know. So I'm just saying, I think that God's laws are important. I think civil disobedience is right and proper if done appropriately. And I think, ladies and gentlemen, we better double down on these sacred causes, and we better stand up for what's right now. Because I'm telling you right now, we got an eternal battle on our hands. And it's over agency, freedom to choose, God over Satan. And as for me and my house, we'll choose the Lord's side, who, I'll tell you that right now. And I pray that I don't have bad repercussions for my decision. But I'm prepared to do what needs to be done regardless. And I pray enough Americans are. We need your financial funding, ladies and gentlemen. We got a lot to do and not enough dollars to do it, to tell the tale of freedom. LibertyRoundtable.com, LibertyNewsRadio.com. Donate today, would you please? We declare we the people, along with the grace of the Almighty, we can and will restore our grand old republic. Will you help? We declare this nation shall endure. God save the Republic of the United States of America.